We're doing Ein Yaakov. We're up to page Lamed Amid Beis in the Talmud, Yud Alef Amid Beis in the Ein Yaakov. Amar Rav Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, Mishmei de Rav. Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, said in the name of Rav, the word Mishmei means in his name, but he didn't hear it directly from him. Bikshu Chachamim Lignoz Sefer Kohelet. The sages wanted to hide the book of Ecclesiastes. Not to leave it for publishing. Put it away. Because the words of Koheles contradict one another. Why, in fact, didn't they put it away? Because Koheles begins with words of Torah and ends with words of Torah. So our sages said, okay, it must be all Torah. We just have to understand it better. How does Koheles begin with words of Torah? Because it says, what benefit does man ultimately have for all his toil under the sun? So you read that. What's Koheles saying? They said, who was Rabbi Yanai? Rabbi Yanai was the Rabbi of Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan the Amora, who was so beautiful, who was the brother-in-law of Reish Lakish. So his Rebbe was Rabbi Yanai. So in the academy of Rabbi Yanai they taught, Tachat Hashemesh Uden Lo, Kodem Hashemesh Yesh Lo. When it says man's toil has no benefit under the sun, that means if you work on things that were created under the sun, but if you were toiling over things that preceded the sun, so then you're okay. What preceded the sun? Torah. The verse says in Mishle, in Proverbs, Hashem kanani reshit darko kedem mifalav me'az. Hashem kanani, Hashem created me, reshit darko, in the very beginning of his path of creation, kedem mifalav, before all the things he did, me'az, from before the beginning of time. So Torah predated the world by a few thousand years. That's our tradition, right? So that's why Shlomo HaMelech begins by saying, everything you work under the sun, what will you have to show from it? So that's what Rabbi Yanai said, only the stuff that came under the sun, but the stuff that preceded the sun, that's the Torah, there you do have value. So that's Shlomo's opening remark, that all is vain. He means all that is corporal, all that is in this world. So, for divrei Torah, the conclusion of Ecclesiastes is words of Torah. Dichtiv, as the verse says, Sof davar hakol nishma. Ultimately, we've heard it all now, right? Everything is heard, but bottom line, now what's my final message? Says Shlomo HaMelech, Et Elokim yirav et mitzvotav shemo, ki ze kol ha'adam. Fear God, keep His mitzvos, Kizeh kol ha'adam. For this is all that man amounts to. What does that mean? What? Okay. That's a good point. Well, our custom is that we end with that, though.
That part consists of the end part, where you say, listen, try everything under the sun.
Right, but that's all part of Torah. He doesn't mean Torah. Maiki zekol adam. What did Shlomo HaMelech mean for this is all that man amounts to? Amar Rabbi Elazar, who is Rabbi Elazar? The disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yanai was Rabbi Yochanan's Rabbi. Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Yochanan's disciple. Rabbi Elazar in the Talmud is Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol ha'olam kulo lo nivra ela bishvil ze. The world was created for this. For what? For man to be a God-fearing person and keep the mitzvos. You guys want a long discussion? We'll make Benny happy. A little bit of philosophy here. Okay. Why? We'll have a long discussion. Our story begins with your two-year-old son, three-year-old son. You don't have a three-year-old son yet, but you'll see when you have a three-year-old son. You'll be walking down the street, and you'll say, son, let's stay on the sidewalk. And he'll ask you, why? And you'll say, because on the street it's dangerous. And he'll ask you, why? And you'll say, because there are cars on the street. And he'll ask you, why? And you'll say, because the street is wide and the cars need a wide place to go. And he'll ask you, why? And you'll say, well, a car needs room for all of us to sit in, and there's only so much room, so this way we make a broader street, so you could have a broader car, so the car could fit in. So if we walk on the street, it could be dangerous, because a car could hit us, and that could be very painful. And he'll ask you, why? And then at some point, you're going to have to say, because that's how God created the world, right? At some point, he's going to keep asking you why. He gets up in the morning and you tell him, let's get dressed, and he'll ask you, why? And you're going to say, well, it's cold outside and you don't want to be cold, and he'll ask you why, and you'll say you don't want to get sick, and he'll ask you why. And you'll see that every conversation, once kids learn this magical word called why, if you keep answering it, you'll eventually end up with the answer, because that's how God created the world. And then they're going to ask you why. And now you have to, now you're stuck. Now wait a second. Why did God create the world that it's cold and we have to get dressed? Why did God create the world that if we walk on the street and a car would hit us, it would be so dangerous? You're suddenly stuck, right? So the first thing you have to know is that a three-year-old doesn't really need all this depth. You're answering more for your own entertainment than his need. But it is important to recognize that most of what we see around us ends up back at that same question. You could explain how gravity works, but if you want to understand why we have gravity, why does the world function this way, you come back to this is how God created it, and then you say, why? So we have all kinds of nice answers, but we have to apply the three-year-old in us and ask about all those answers, why? And then at some point you're going to reach a point where you're going to be stuck, because God's not lacking. He was perfect beforehand, so then why did he create a world? So we say there are different answers to this question, but we have to understand that all of these answers are step two, not step one. Meaning, all these answers can be challenged again with the question, why? You'll say, God wanted to impart the good that is he to others. Why? God wanted creatures that would recognize him. Why? God wanted us to have an ability to accomplish and get Olam Haba and have it as something we earned. Why? You can always keep challenging and getting and asking on that. So why do we benefit anything by giving these answers if in fact you could still ask the same question? So the answer is, or one of the answers is, that these answers are important because they give us perspective. To understand God, that's beyond us. But our perspective on the world, there are two approaches to this world. Some people say, you know, one day you might find out that this whole life you've been living, you've been paying for a different life you've lived, and this world that you're experiencing now is the perdition of another world. This is that. Others will tell you the exact opposite. You know, maybe this world you're living in now is the payment for all the good you've done in a different world. This is the Garden of Eden. This is that great world. We don't view it either way. But it just shows you how far a person can go in his attitude towards this world. You could look at the world and say, there are so many things I'm displeased with. I get up in the morning, I look at the birds flying, and I can't. I look at the birds chirping, and I can't. I look at the freedom of all the animals. My cat can lie there in the sun all morning, and I can't. So many things I can't do. And then you could look at the world and say, what a beautiful world. There are so many things I have. I have light. I have air. We have life. We have a lot of blessing. So our attitude will define much of how we perceive what's going on around us. So When the Talmud tells us, "Kol ha'olam kulo lo nivra ela bishvil ze," the world was created for this alone. This was the purpose of creation. It's teaching us an attitude. What am I striving for? You ask the average person, what do you want to accomplish in this world? It always strikes me. Every so often, I merit to try and help set someone up for shiduchim. So when I interview someone who's been in yeshiva, I ask the standard question, what are your goals in life? And people will give me a list of what their goals are. You interview someone who hasn't set foot in yeshiva, very often you ask them, what are your goals in life? And the person looks at you, what do you mean? A doctorate, how much money I want to make, the type of car I want to drive. What do you mean? And then you say, no, I mean, one day you'll have a eulogy, one day you'll have a funeral, there'll be an end. What do you want to accomplish at that point? What do you want to look back at? And the person looks at me and says, I want to get married and you're supposed to help me with that. Why are you asking me all these deep philosophical questions? Why is that any of your business? Now, why is the person getting all uptight? Because very often people can live through life and not think about this. They can think about what they want today. They can think about the here and now. Comes Rabbi Elazar and tells us, Kizeh kol ha'adam, the world was created for this. So this gives us a perspective. What am I trying to accomplish? Where am I trying to go? One day your child will ask you this question. I bless you that your child will ask you this question. Dad, what's your goal in life? What do you want to accomplish in life? If you haven't asked yourself that question, your children should. I hope they'll feel comfortable enough and they'll think you're worthy of such a question that they'll be interested in hearing your answer. Well, think about it. What is your answer? What's the Torah's answer? So we often say, oh, I'm supposed to keep Torah and mitzvot. That's true. Is that the goal of life? Rabbi Elazar says the world, he doesn't say every individual, he says the world was created for this. Sof davar kol nishmat elokim yirav et mitzvotav shemo, to be a God-fearing person and keep the mitzvot. If that's the purpose of the world, then it seems like Torah is the facilitator. Learning Torah is a means and not an end, it would seem. Unless you'll say, no, that's the great mitzvah. So that's part of keeping the mitzvahs. So then learning Torah can also be an end, not only a means.
That's tricky because that eliminates most of mankind. It's not supposed to sit on a Torah.
Oh. So what you're saying now is really that what we just learned is supportive of the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, where the Rambam says that the goal of the world is to be learning Torah, to be a person who's living the way God wants him to live on the planet. And then the Rambam says, so why do we have so many African tribes that never heard of Judaism? And the Rambam addresses that question. But you see, your question really brings out that this might be the source for the Rambam's explanation there. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana amar shakul ze keneged kol ha'olam kulo. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana says, when King Solomon said, ki ze kol ha'adam, and you'll notice that the Gemara assumes that King Solomon's statement, ki ze kol ha'adam, this is the essence of man, the Talmud assumes this means this is the essence of the world. King Solomon spoke about man, and the Talmud speaks about the world. So here maybe we have to apply the Ran in Rosh Hashanah. The Talmud asks, why do we pray on Rosh Hashanah Hayom Harat Olam? The world was created today. So the Ran over there says, wait a second, how does the Talmud's answer work? Because basically man was created on Rosh Hashanah. The world was created 6 days earlier. What does it mean, Hayom Harat Olam? Because the essence of the world is man. So then, with that understanding, the world and man are synonymous. Do we have Kabbalists here? No. So there's a Kabbalistic perspective to all this. Not that I know any of that. But
you say this 6 days lasted 6 months.
Who says?
I'm asking.
Ah, no. Why would we say that?
Because the recent
6 months. Oh, so that's a very good question. Either for Thursday night or stick around when we reach Tractate Rosh Hashanah and then Yaakov will have to... That's also true. So if you look it up there, we discussed it.
The way,
Right. I said stick around. Shimon ben Azai Omer, Vamila Shimon ben Zoma. That's the ben Azai and ben Zoma in the Mishnah. Very interesting. Lo nivra kol ha'olam kulo ela litzvat leze. The whole world was created as companionship to this. This is the prime focus, and the rest of the world is companionship to this idea, to be a God-fearing person. Okay, so we've had three different answers here. And we have to understand what the difference between these answers are. But we'll continue. So where in Ecclesiastes do we find Solomon contradicting himself? Okay, K'tiv, Tov, Kas, Mischok. One place King Solomon says it's better to be upset than to be foolish, to be jolly in a frivolous way. And in another place King Solomon says, I find frivolity to be praiseworthy. Wait a second, you said it's better to be upset than to be frivolous, and now you're saying you praise frivolity. That contradicts. K'tiv, in one place Shlomo Amar says, V'shibachti ani ita simcha, I praise happiness. V'chtiv, and in another place, Shlomo HaMelech says, Ul simcha mazosa, where is there room for happiness in this world? So which one is it? Do you look at the world and say, why be happy? Or do you say, I praise happiness? Lo kasha. So the Gemara says, really, that's not a question. Tov kas misechok. When it says anger is better than frivolity, that's tov kas shukes hakadosh baruch hu al tzadikim ba'olam hazeh. The anger that God expresses at the tzaddikim, the righteous ones in this world, is better than the joking that God does with the wicked in this world, where He lets them get away with things, and then they think that they've gotten away with it, and that's really God's joke on them, and yet the righteous have to contend with hardships in this world, and really that's God saying, let's close whatever accounts you guys have. We'll finish off my anger here, and in the next world you'll have it better. So that's where Shlomo HaMelech says anger is better than happiness. He means you're better off finishing off with God's anger in this world. When he says joking around is a good thing, he means in the world to come, when God will make things happy for the righteous, that's a good thing. Okay, so there the Gemara answered that contradiction. V'shibachti ani ita simcha, I praise happiness, so simcha shel mitzvah. That's the happiness a person has when he does a mitzvah. Here, what you guys just hear? The simple reading of the Gemara is Rav Nachman, right? Rav Nachman from the city of Breslau. Yeah? Breslav, yeah? Person should always be happy. You got to do a mitzvah with happiness. So that's the happiness he's talking about. Rashi doesn't learn that way. Rashi does not learn the simple reading of the Gemara. The simple reading would be, you're doing a mitzvah, put on tefillin, you should be happy. Ooh, you guys know I'm famous. Oh, you know this. About 3-4 years ago, there's a man named Gutman Locks. I was walking into the Kotel, and it was Sukkis. And according to some opinions, there's a biblical mitzvah to shake lulav and esrog by the Kotel. Even 7 days. Ordinarily, there's biblical mitzvah only the first day, and by the temple, 7 days. The question is the kotel included in that, the biblical mitzvah? So, ordinarily, I used to carry along my lulav and esrog, and many years I'd buy two lulav and esrog, one to leave by the kotel for the soldiers. I discovered over time that going onto a bus, getting off a bus during the crowded Chol HaMoed time is a certain way to disqualify your lulav, get it banged around and destroyed. So I borrow other people's when I get there. I ask them to give it to me as a gift on condition that I give it back, because you have to own your lulav and esrog when you're doing the mitzvah biblically. So I'm approaching the kotel and I see these videos there, like a big machine as though a TV camera is taking pictures. And then this bearded fellow, I later on learned his name was Gutman Locks, leans over and says, would you like to shake the lulav and esrog? And I say, thank you, actually I would. So I take his lulav and esrog and I'm about to start shaking, and he stops me and he says, Bisimcha, do it with happiness. So I said, thank you. I smiled, put on a big smile, wanted to make the old man happy, right? Did the mitzvah as I'm shaking the loaf and esrog. I didn't know he was videotaping the whole conversation. He has a YouTube channel, and he was doing this to a lot of people, and then those that he liked the way they reacted, he put together, he cut and pasted, made a whole video. So a few months later, I start getting emails from people. Hey, you know, I saw you on YouTube. I saw you on Gutman Lax. Okay,
I actually saw that video.
Right.
Posted, but it was before I came to the
pause. So,
the guy made the video, Rami and the pastor? Yes.
So, coming back to here. We would have expected Pshat in the Gemara would be like Gutman Lax. You're taking a loaf and esrog, smile, b'simcha. It says in the Gemara, do a mitzvah, b'simcha. Along comes Rashi and gives us another Pshat. Rashi says, what is simcha shel mitzvah? Rashi says, kigon hachnasat kala. For example, when you're accompanying a kala to her wedding, so you dance and you sing in front of her, so being happy is part of it. It's not just put a smile on your face and dance. Be happy with them. You should be exuberant. That's what's going to make them happy when you're dancing with them with true joy. So Rashi seems to say that there are specific mitzvot that should be done b'simcha. Rashi seems to be going against what we ordinarily think. Oh, there are other Rishonim. There's Rabbeinu Bechaye. There are others that say that every mitzvah has to be done with happiness. But Rashi here does not go, Rashi clearly does not go with that understanding. There are mitzvahs that have to be done with happiness. It seems from Rashi that other mitzvahs, putting on tefillin, you can be sober, serene, maybe even angry, right?
There are some that would be designed to do with happiness, publicly.
Sure. Imagine, yeah. I remember as a teenager, I'd have this argument with friends, and it reached an argument with the teachers. When the Torah gives you a mitzvah to annihilate the seven nations, are you supposed to be happy as you do it? Can you smile as you do it? Right. I didn't want to give that example. Right.
And I don't know what the mitzvah is, but good morning and things.
Right. They're the mitzvah. Right. So Rashi gives us an out for all of those. What did Shlomo HaMelech mean when he said, what's the point of happiness? So simcha she'ina shel mitzvah, that's happiness that's not revolving around the mitzvah. Lelamedcha. Now from this, the Gemara says, you learn an important concept. She'en shechina shora, the shechina, God's presence, does not settle, lo mitoch atzlut, not out of laziness. Number one, sometimes a person thinks it's like philosophy. God, I'm waiting. I'll sit back and wait. Maybe I'll have God's presence. No, that's not going to get you anywhere. Not out of laziness. Lo mitoch atzvut. Not out of sadness. Sometimes people want to grow in their Torah observance, so they spend a lot of time beating on themselves. I should have done this differently and that differently. And then they can get depressed and then they don't grow. Well, sadness will not bring on the Shekhinah. It could be it's a part of growth. Sometimes a person has to take an accounting and see what's wrong. But you got to realize that growth is not there. The lo mitoch schok, not out of lightheadedness, joking, laughing. Lo mitoch kalut rosh, not out of lightheadedness. Lo mitoch sicha, not out of idle chatter. Lo mitoch dvarim betelim, not out of wasting time. Ela, how do you get the shechina? Mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah. Out of the happiness of a mitzvah. As the verse says, Shenemar v'atakhulin nagin, he asked for music, and then he had the Shekhinah settle on him. Amar Rav Yehuda, v'chen ledvar halacha, Rav Yehuda taught, you want to get the halacha right, you also got to be happy. If you're happy, then you'll get your halachos right. Amar Rava, v'chen l'chalom tov, Rava says, same is true for having a good dream. You want to have a good dream, go to sleep happy. You go to sleep annoyed, you'll probably have a bad dream. So we're in the middle of a topic of all the good things that come out of being a happy person, which can even mean listening to music. Happy doesn't only mean happiness of a mitzvah. We saw here, if a person listens to music for the sake of being happy so that he can do mitzvos more correctly, that's also a mitzvah. And we'll pick up here, Bezachem, next week.